It's great to gather together. And I hope that God will meet you today. And it's the last Sunday before the time of Advent starts. And I've been wondering, how should we finish up this Jesus is my life topic? And it's a series that you could continue with forever almost, because everything in our Christian life could be included in this, that Jesus is our life. So I had all kinds of wonderful ideas. Thought about how we reach out into the world, or being a part of the small fellowship, which is very like small groups, and growing as a disciple in relationships. But it was quite clear to me that God wanted this last Sunday that I should speak about children, but the children in God's kingdom and the place of children in God's kingdom. Maybe we don't talk about it so often, because we talk mostly about Bible passages, these Bible passages, when we have maybe a children's baptism or blessing, and then we think that we have to talk enough about it. But there's many important things that the Bible talks about, the place of children in God's kingdom and what children can teach us about God's kingdom. So I hope that you are alert. Are you alert? Do you want to learn something? Yes? Every Sunday, or whenever you come to God's Word, with that attitude that I want to hear from God, and you ask for it, then God can meet you. That's my belief, that God can always speak to us through His Word. And we're going to talk about children and how Jesus views children and children's part in God's kingdom. And as we talk about children, I am not a veteran when it comes to raising children or having children in a Christian home. I am not a veteran yet. I'm sure half of you, I could probably ask you to speak instead of me here, who have more experience of children. I have 3 years been a parent, and I have maybe 20 to 25 years left of this journey to discover what it means to raise children in the Christian faith. But it opened my eyes last winter. Wilmer was 2.5 years old, and I was putting him to bed. And we don't read a Bible story every evening. He gets to choose the book, and sometimes it's from the Bible, but sometimes it's just something about monster trucks or whatever. It can be from one end to the other. But this evening, we had read a very normal children's book, and then we're listening to a song in the background, and I'm wondering, is he sleeping? Or because last winter he always used to say, "Daddy, Daddy," and I said, "Ah, I'm here," but then he was quiet, and then after several minutes I hear him say, "Dad, yes, I think Jesus is great." And then I was like, wait a second, what have been doing? Because we're not trying to brainwash our children at home. We don't have a devotional moment every evening or anything. But all of a sudden, he has been laying there by himself. We do always pray the prayer goodnight together with him. But he's laying there by himself, and he's thinking about and he wants to say that he thinks Jesus is nice and kind. That a 2.5-year-old can, in fact, receive who God is. A 2.5-year-old is receptive to God and thinks about God, what Jesus is like. That's quite cool. Another time we were reading about Noah in the children's Bible, and there's a picture of Noah, and there's his wife and his children, and then it says, and God spoke to Noah and said that they should build an ark. And then he looked very closely in the book, and he said, where is God? And I'm like, exactly, good question, where is God? Well, God, you can't see God, actually. He's everywhere, and he's here in the room right now. It's like, okay. And I was going to continue, and he's like, where is God? God has created everything. He's here around us. He has made everything here. He has made the trees and the birds and the animals, and he has made us. Okay. And then then he asked again, where is God? And I think we did this like 15 times, and I got to share a little bit more about God. And like, it's so interesting to a child to find out about this. And still, we might think about the children, that as long as they are just like following along somehow, and we might think about not think about what all the children can understand, and what we can do from early years to help the children come to God. And we will read one of these important Bible passages about children. And I want to say, when we talk about children, this can be painful for somebody. Maybe somebody has dreamed about children or hoped for children, and we know what that feels like. We had to wait a long time to have a child, and it was a long process. So there can be a lot of pain in this wait to have children. But as we talk about children today, we can think about all the children around us, not just our own, but maybe you have godchildren or you have your siblings' children. There are children here in the church, children of friends. So you can think about all these children that are around you. What does God want to do in their lives? It says in Mark 10, verse 13 to 16. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. First, to understand this Bible passage and this story and the implications of it, you have to know this about the culture back then. The children had a very low status in this time, unfortunately. A lot of things have become better in 2,000 years, but in this time, especially in this heathen cultures, but also in the Jewish cultures, children were not seen. They didn't get very much space. They were not valued very highly. You could look down on children. And in public places, you could put together, talk about children together with sick people and slaves, and that all of these are like one group. So the disciples do the natural thing here. There are lots of people want to come to Jesus, so they do the natural thing and they say like, oh, you children go away, like make some space for these important adults who need to come. And how often don't we think that? The important adults, we important adults with our important conversation topics, with our important goals in life, and all the other important things we have. So this whole episode that is going on here with Jesus, it's surprising, at least for everyone who was there then. They were like, what's going on? Maybe even shocking. Hold on a second. The disciples are surprised and they're like, what's going on? Jesus, the children, wait a minute. They're trying to make this fit together. What's going on here? And Jesus even takes it one step further to make a point of what children are like, to help people understand how to get into the kingdom of God. And the first thing we can say today about the children is that Jesus loves and prioritizes children. He does it in many places in the Bible. He loves and prioritizes the children. While the disciples are thinking that the children can just follow along on the side, but don't be in the way for the adults. Don't be in the way of the important things that are happening here. The children can be there, but don't bother the Savior. And do they even have a need? They just want to be blessed. This is not like a line for prayer to some TV evangelist. What is your need, really? But note Jesus' reaction. It says that he is indignant. And this Greek word for this, it means that you feel a lot of pain on your inside. You feel a lot of pain on the inside. So you're upset and something tightens up. So it's close to being angry. Something tightens up in Jesus. and he becomes angry. Maybe his face changes and maybe he looks at them. And they think, what's going on? And now as you're reading this, you have to think, like, how many times does Jesus really get angry? Could somebody say, do you remember some other time when Jesus gets angry? In the temple. So when you make the temple into a marketplace, you start selling and buying in the temple, in God's temple. It's one of the few other times that Jesus becomes angry, and the Bible talks about it. Few times he gets angry about, like, having little faith. But that's the other big hit happening when he becomes angry in the temple. And he says that you have made God's house into a robber's nest. This is maybe not typical for Jesus, but he makes a whip and drives them out of the temple. It's very few times it says about Jesus that he becomes angry, but this is one of those times. So when we talk about children, that the children should come to Jesus. And they try to hinder the children from coming. Then Jesus becomes angry. This is one of the times. Think about that. That's how important it was to Jesus, that the children could come, that you make it possible for children to come, that you actively help the children to come. He becomes angry. And he says, he doesn't say just one time, or point it out one time, but twice. He says, let the children come to me. In verse 14, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them. It wasn't enough to just say, let them come to me, or just to say, don't hinder them. He said, let them come to me, do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He says that these should go first. These are open. They want to. They can receive. Prioritize them. So he's emphasizing this. And then he's lifting up the children in his lap and he puts his hand on them and he blesses them. Can you see how surprised the disciples are who think that Jesus should serve all the sick, all the adults who come with their questions, who want to be touched by Jesus? And then Jesus instead takes these children in his lap and he touches them and gives them closeness, looks them in the eye, speaks to them and blesses them. He sees them. He gives them time and space. Are you following along? The children are very important to Jesus' heart. And he prioritizes the children even before the adults in this moment. How do we know that Jesus loves and prioritizes the children? One of the strongest condemnations that Jesus says about a group of children has to do with children. It says in Matthew 18 and 6. It says, but if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. This is a very strong image that Jesus gives here. What Jesus is saying would be better, that if somebody deceives a child, leads it wrong or tricks a child, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. It's a very strong image. I think it's a very specific and strong image. That this is the punishment that should come from that. It's so much more important that we lead the children. And then he talks about some sins and he says, get rid of this and this. And then in Matthew 18 and 10, he says, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. God always has his eyes on the little children. And he says that don't look down on them. Don't look down on what a child can receive and what space in God's kingdom a child can have. And we have to ask ourselves, how highly do we value children? How highly do we prioritize giving Jesus onwards to our children, to our own children, but also children in the church, the children who are in our lives? Is everything going on the working according to what adults need, or do we prioritize the children? A scary truth that comes out here is that it's impossible to hinder children from coming to Jesus. The disciples are trying to. This is not the Pharisees. It's not the scribes. It's not one of these groups who were against Jesus. But his own disciples didn't understand what they were doing. They were acting according to a certain norm and certain culture where children were not valued. And without thinking, they were hindering the children from coming to Jesus. Through our choices and what we think is important, what we prioritize, we can either help children come to Jesus or hinder them. And unfortunately, there's a lot of tendencies in this society, seen in schools, where you can't sing Christian songs anymore or speak about Jesus. You can't hold like morning devotions in the schools. Very few places in schools in Finland allow morning devotions. And in many ways, you want to hinder the children from coming to Jesus. And we as a church, we as Christians, have to take it even more seriously to help the children. There's something all of us can do to help the children come to Jesus. So that's the first thing we see. That Jesus, he loves children and prioritizes children. And secondly, Jesus teaches about the children, that the children's humility is an example and shows us the way to Jesus. Just that children can be an example for the adults. He kind of puts it on its head, and we put the adults first and what we can share and what we can come with. And he says, no, look at the children. Children can show you something about how God's kingdom works. He says in Mark 10:15, he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. When Jesus says, amen, I tell you, or I tell you the truth, after that something important always follows. Something important will come. So anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What does this mean? What are children like? We can look at another Bible passage where Jesus opens it a little bit more. It says in Matthew 18:1-5, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. So Jesus talks about repenting from what? What was it that the disciples were talking about there on the road? They talked about who is the greatest. So typical for adults, maybe immature adults, who is the greatest among us? Imagine Jesus walking there and teaching them, and the disciples are wondering, who is the greatest of us? Who is the one who has come furthest in God's kingdom? Then Jesus takes a child, and he says, this child has come further. Look at this child. It's humble. It knows that it needs help. It's helpless. It can't do anything by itself. Children are helpless, and they know that they need the help of a stronger. Jesus says that they need to repent. Here comes a mini gospel in Jesus' teaching about the children. That all the adults, everyone who comes to Jesus has to repent from trying to be the greatest and to handle things by themselves, to try to save themselves, to try to think like this, that through my deeds, through by being the greatest disciple, God will love me and save me. So he says that when you try to be as great as possible, you can't fit through the door because the door is small. You have to dare to become like a child and to say, I need the help of the stronger person to come into God's kingdom. Nobody can save themselves. It doesn't work in your own power to deserve your place before God. But children know that they are helpless. Children know that I need the help of somebody else. How many times don't we try being strong? When it could be what could faster connect us with God would be us saying, God, I'm weak. God, I have sinned. God, it's so many things that I can't handle. Then we can say that I need your help. I need to become as a child. What do children do? They come running and they put up their arms and they say, Dad, I don't want to walk anymore. Children dare to be dependent on others. Children dare to say, I can't do this by myself, and to be dependent on somebody else. So Jesus is saying that children are an example of this. If I want to come into God's kingdom, if I want to come deeper with Jesus, if I want to learn where the road goes to having more of God's kingdom, then I need to constantly not become bigger and greater, but in my view of myself and where the strength comes from, I need to become smaller. I need to humble myself and say, God, I see it now. I have been saved for 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, but I understand better today than I understood then that I can't do this by myself. And I bow down even lower. The one who wants to be the greatest and to think, now I can give something of Jesus. Maybe Jesus is standing here behind me. If I try to be great, maybe I block the view for you so you can't see Jesus. But the deeper I bow down, the more of Jesus behind me you can see. Because I dare to be small, to say, Jesus, will you be big in my life? Will you be the strong one in my life? The one who carries me. That's the gospel. Everybody can come into God's kingdom. But not unless we confess that we are so dependent on God as a small child. Yesterday we were out in the evening to get a little bit more energy out of our little guy. I went a second time out for a walk with him in the darkness. Do you want to go out on an adventure in the dark? Yes, Dad wants to take me on an adventure in the dark. So we took flashlights and we walked out on a dark field and we walked in the darkness with our flashlights. And I helped him jump over the ditches and to look at everything. And then I told him that, you know what? Jesus says that he is our light. That when things are dark in life, we can pray that Jesus can be our light. Then we walked on. But the point I want to say is that when we walked maybe 2 kilometers, and then as we were walking back, it's just a few hundred meters left to our house. Sometimes it's like when you're just very close to the house, then all the energy ends for the child. But then he says, Dad, I can't do it anymore. And then he sits down on the ground and he lays down and I says, Dad, I can't anymore. And then I said, we're quite close. Come, I can carry you. And I put him up on my shoulders. And then all of a sudden he had a lot of energy, it felt like. But he's sitting there on my shoulders. And then he's larger. If he would have stayed there on the ground and to try to walk by himself, even though he's tired and he can't do it anymore, then he's small. But he tells his dad, Dad, I can't do it anymore. Please help me. Can you carry me? And all of a sudden, he's much larger and greater than he was before because he's sitting on my shoulders and he can walk as far as however far. And when the Bible says we should become as children, So as long as you are not willing to ask your father for help and say that I am dependent on you, then you will have to struggle in your own strength. But as soon as you say, I give up, you're an adult, you don't have to lay down on the ground, but you say, I give up, I need you, God, I need your help to be able to handle this and to be able to live life and go further in my discipleship. And then God lifts you up on his shoulders, and you can be weak, and he's strong. So he says it's okay to be as a child, it's okay to be weak, it's okay to not be able to make it on your own. But there is no other way for a disciple, for a Christian, than to dare to be dependent on God. Look at the children. It's an image of how we can be God's children and we can be strong through him. The last thing I want to say about this story before we finish is a point that comes in the beginning of the story, that they take the children to Jesus. The parents in this story, they see the value in taking their children to Jesus. What do I want more than that the lives of my children can be defined by the greatest love in the whole world, the most forgiving grace, and the joy in Jesus' face and heart? They want their children to come into contact with Jesus. But children need help to come to Jesus. They can't come by themselves. Children need help to come to Jesus. That's why they purposefully take their children to Jesus. And I want to emphasize that this is a point that Jesus is making here in this story, that the parents are making this choice. They're not looking at if the children are interested or if the children maybe would rather be with their friends or on their phones, but they are purposefully bringing their children to Jesus. And unfortunately, in our society, there's so much that wants to take our children away from the faith. If you think about social media and how it comes into the lives of little children, you start following like what's happening on TikTok and one challenge after the other that they are trying to follow along with. How important is it to purposefully give another input to children? Because if you think the way the world thinks and the schools think, that you shouldn't affect the children in any way, they should find their way by themselves. That's a total lie and very idiotic idea. Because the truth is that if you don't purposefully lead a child into the right way, then they will walk into the wrong way. If you say that I won't affect my children, then you're very strongly affecting your children to not walk in the right way. And we need to watch out for that. We need to purposefully help our children to find the right way. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. So to train your child, to give these habits to the children, to give what's important to us, what's important to our family, in what way can we do it purposefully so that the children can come to Jesus? Here I want to invite all the children in the church to talk to each other. I am not a veteran. I am just a new recruit when it comes to children. I have only been doing it for 3 years. But there are lots of families in the church who have been guiding their children towards Jesus for a long time. I think many families have great ideas about what have we done in our family that has made it possible for the children to take steps towards Jesus and to find him. And here I don't think personally that it's about some huge things we should do. Have a mini meeting in the home every evening. I don't think it's about big things, but about small things. In our everyday life, how is Jesus a part of everyday life in our families? What habits do we have? Do we pray before we eat? Maybe people think like, oh, we're blessed all the time. Everything in our house is blessed. Our food is blessed. God is with us all the time. But what habits do you give to the children? Every time you somehow include this in the everyday life, then God is a part of this. We pray before we eat. We don't just start eating. But we pray and we thank God that we have food. And every time you do it, you give a signal to your children that we believe that the good things we have are from God. We thank Him for what we have. Sometimes we just pray honestly. Sometimes it's hard to pray before we eat because our Wilmar isn't always listening or wanting to do it. Sometimes we have to listen in English because then he thinks it's interesting. But so it's not so easy to do it when the children are whining and screaming. But we want to give this along. So sometimes instead of praying, if he doesn't want to, I say, can I tell you why we're praying for the food? And then that might take 5 to 10 times longer than praying for the food. But then we sit there and I talk to him about like why we do we pray and why is God important to us and all the good things he gives us. And then when he's quiet and he's listened, then we pray. So you have to struggle a little bit to give this faith in everyday life. And everybody can do something. And I think the most important thing that my parents and Miriam's parents have done for us is to pray for us. They have continued to pray for us year in and year out. I think Miriam's example is better. She says that every day before her parents sent them to school, they prayed a short prayer. They gave them a hug and said, Jesus, we pray that you would be with Miriam this day in school. Amen. Not more than that is even needed, but the children get to know that God is a part of our everyday life. Something we do so children can come always closer to God. And I have felt like a failure many times. When I think, I wonder what possibilities I could have missed. I wonder what I should have done that I haven't understood that I should do. But that's where grace comes. That's where God's help comes in. That's where God can come and fill in this emptiness. But what we know today, we can do to help the children in the right direction in our homes. So I think the most important thing to have safe children, it's important to give unconditional love and to give them attention, to look them in the eyes, to talk about things, to explain things, and to show that their questions are important. And these are the same things that give safety in life, and they also give safety in faith. And it could be different for different children. Maybe some children like to listen to Bible stories, while others maybe understand what God is like more when you talk about like answers to prayer and testimonies about what God is doing. So all children are not the same. And we can try to find together what works for these children. And if we talk about the church, we can all do something. Even though we don't have our own children, everybody can help children to come closer to God. And my wife said something smart yesterday. She said that she believes it's just as important to give Bible stories and have Sunday school for the church, for the children. It's just as important that the children get loved and seen in their church. So if we think that, oh, as long as we get the children into Sunday school, then that's enough. They get everything there. Or we think that we don't need to do so much in the house because we have Sunday school. But then we give away our responsibility. Everybody can see the children and encourage the children and talk to the children in the church and show that they are important. They are part of the family here. We can all include the children. And it's a struggle for parents to come to church when they have small children. You can imagine how we've been waiting for 3 years for Wilmar to be able to start Sunday school. Because most sermons, Miriam hasn't been able to hear them. Usually I preach and Wilmar has... And she's been taking care of Wilmar. So most sermons, she's been not able to listen very well. Then you might think like, what's the point of me even going to church as a parent? If I still just sit there and take care of a child and I can't hear any sermon, what was the point of that? The point is that we can get our children used to going to church and lead them in the right way and show them that this is what we as a family do. Wilmer, at least right now, loves to come to church. And he did that long time before he got to go to Sunday school. Now he maybe loves it even more. But we're getting them used to it and saying that this is what we do. I want them to know, to get the habit to go to church, the habit to come here no matter if it's Sunday school or not. Maybe somebody thinks, what's the point if it's not Sunday school? And then I can't remember which family said it was, either the Dalbakkas or the Pratts maybe, who said, when I said that it's so bad that we don't have Sunday school every Sunday, and they said that it doesn't matter to us, we come to church anyway because I want our children to not just get used to Sunday school but to get used to going to church. So there should be a natural part about meeting God in church. And I thought that was a great thing to say. So that's something we have taken along from another family, that's the point. Not just to entertain the children. Then we look down on what the children can understand of God. Now the point is that the children can be a part of the fellowship and the family in the church. And I would like to encourage, we do a lot of things already. I'm not whining here. I hope you don't take it as that. This church is really great at including the children and having a program for them. We have the Sunday school and the Metzko youth. And I want to encourage everybody to think about that what is my part of making it possible and not hindering the children from coming to Jesus. There could be many different excuses. We have so many hobbies. It's the only day that we as a family can just rest. It's the only day that we can take it easy. Who are we then prioritizing? Is it that children could meet Jesus? Or is it that we as a family make it possible to come to Jesus? Jesus prioritizes the children. And then finally, I want to talk about the Sunday school. We have a great situation in the Sunday school. Whoops. It's a little bit stretched out, but yeah. Your children don't actually look like this. But we have had between 15 to 22 children in the Sunday school almost every time. I don't know how many who went there today. They may be blowing out the candle or something. It's a great opportunity. And I think one of our greatest opportunities as a church to make disciples is what we might be missing out on and not seeing in the here in the church, that children there in the Sunday school. What if all of these 22 children, or however many they are, could early on get to know Jesus personally? What if all of them could be saved, could be disciples, and to continue to follow Jesus throughout life? During my years here in the church, I don't know how many have given their lives to Jesus in the services. Maybe I should count sometime, but that's not the point. But I'm wondering, maybe 20, 25, even at 11, during 11 years, who have been saved through giving an invitation to faith here in the church. Maybe through relationships, more people have become saved. And so I think if we could still put some effort into the children and make it easier for them to come to Jesus. Now we have Sunday school every other Sunday. What if we could have it every Sunday, even though it's important also that the children learn to come to church when there's no Sunday school? But what if we could remove even more hindrances and make it even easier for children to come to church? To think, am I willing to put the children first before myself? What effect could that have? I hope I don't need to become too sentimental, but I want to talk about my mother. I have shared this before. My mother decided that when there was nobody who could do Sunday school in our church, she said she will do it. And then for 10 years, she had Sunday school every single Sunday by herself alone. For 10 years alone, she had Sunday school for the children every Sunday. So she basically thought that I will place the children first. I will miss every sermon for 10 years. Nobody recorded the sermons. We're talking about the 80s and the 90s here. In our church, we didn't record anything then. She decided that I want to put the children first, to put energy on them. I don't think it's the only way. God has different callings for different people, and God affects what happens to people. But from her four boys, we have four pastors. And I don't think that's the only reason. They have prayed for us a lot and taken us along to different conferences, and God has called us. Of course, it's not obvious for any of us, but she could multiply. And then another boy, Mikkel, who many of you know, who was preaching here a while ago, he also became a leader in leaders in the church, and is now one of the leaders in the Pentecostal church there in Akeness. So God used what she did to save many people and create spiritual leaders. Then I wonder that what can we do? And also our church work for youth, who is every other Friday. If we had more leaders, we could offer the children, the youth, they love it. And they would like to have a youth evening every Friday. Medsko Teens is once a month. What could we as a church do to make it even more possible for children to come to Jesus? What could we see after 10 or 20 years? It's a long time project. What could happen in God's kingdom after many, many years if we would put our energy on the children? And then the last Bible passage, and then we're going to finish up. This is what it says in Mark 9, verse 36. It's the same argument about who's the greatest. It says in verse 36, he took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. And here Jesus says another truth. He takes a child in his arms, gives it a hug, and says, whoever receives a child like this in my name, he receives me. So receiving the children in Jesus' name in order to help them closer to Jesus. It's a direct channel and a way to Jesus himself. And by doing that action with children, you receive Jesus himself, and not just Jesus, but the Father in heaven. And he says that in this small thing that you can do as a church, that you can do with children around us, and that you can do in our homes, in this small action, to take care of the smallest and to embrace the children, you can find a highway to God himself, an opening for God to work in our lives. Not through trying to have a great position and doing the most visible tasks, but it can be in the smallest, in the small things, where you're the most touched by God, where he can channel his life to us. Let's pray together.